Well, again, welcome. It is a very unique opportunity that we have this morning. The service will be somewhat different than our normal Sunday morning service. If you're visiting with us, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that a regular attender or member has provided you with one of these trifold pamphlets that are available on the resource table in the back. And if you're visiting with us and you do not have one of these, then you turn to the person beside you who invited you and say, "Where is my information brochure?" Because more than likely, no one has one. But this served as a good opportunity for me to remind our people that they're there. The order of service is here, which is why I draw attention to it, in case one or two of you actually did receive one of these. We're breaking from the normal pattern of our Sunday morning services this morning in order to draw attention to the importance of church membership, to witness the ordinance of baptism, and to partake of the Lord's Supper together. So we're going to split the service up in a different way. We want to begin by considering membership. God has determined to save a people for himself all around the globe throughout all time. And he has determined, based on our reading and understanding of the New Testament, that these people will gather themselves together in what we know as local churches. And the kingdom of God then will be manifest in these local expressions of families, of churches, interacting with one another, holding each other accountable, running the race of the Christian life, arm in arm, seeking that we all run it well, seeking that we all finish the race. But with membership, there are certain expectations, or there's a criteria, we might say. And I want to pull two of those out this morning just to draw attention to. There are more, but we want to draw attention to two specifically this morning. The first and most basic level of requirement or criteria for church membership is conversion or salvation. In order to be a member in a local church, there must be credible evidence of a changed life. The person must respond to God in repentance and faith. This is what makes one eligible for church membership. Not only that, but we see also in the New Testament, it's not just the change of life that has happened through conversion, but also, again and again, we see baptism happening. We have seen this throughout our series in Acts that we've been in for the past year or so. That as people come to Christ, come to belief in him, that after they believe, they are baptized. And here at Christ Church, we practice believers' baptism. Let's look at these two separately. First, conversion. Credible evidence of a changed life. Why would there be this expectation? Because when God works within a soul, the mind will be altered, the affections will be altered, the will be changed and bent, broken if necessary, in order to be in line with God's will. The conscience will be affected and the memory will be changed. Everything about an individual is changed because of the radical nature of the living God taking up residence in a fallen human being. There's no way around it. Everything is affected. Everything is made new. That's what we saw in the passage. Behold, old things are gone. The new has come. All things are new. This is the reality of being converted to Jesus Christ, of being saved by his grace. So this is the criteria for membership here. You must profess to be a Christian, and you must live like a Christian. Credible evidence of a changed life. Conversion, we might detail a bit further as that conscious act of a person who has been made alive by the Holy Spirit. It's the conscious act of that person turning to God in repentance. turning away from sin and self and this world, and turning to God in faith, believing, trusting completely and wholly in Him as your all in all. Conversion includes an illumination within the mind. Sin is seen for what it actually is. It's heinous, horrendous, and will be damning if not dealt with by the blood of Jesus. Conversion also includes a genuine sorrow for sin. This is not just remorse for sin due to consequences, but it includes a humble confession of sin, a confession of sin to God, and a confession of sin to those who are affected or hurt and harmed by the sin. Conversion also includes a hatred of sin, along with a deliberate resolve to be done with it. It's not simply sin is bad and I don't want to do it. It's going out of your way to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put sin away, to do what is right, to do the works of God in keeping with His will and His word. Conversion includes a return to God as our gracious Father, recognizing that He's the one who made us and He made us for Himself. It's returning to Him, believing that He can and that He will forgive our sins. Conversion also includes a wholehearted joy in God through Jesus Christ. How could it not? The free offer of forgiveness to sinners who deserve to be damned have been offered free access to the gospel, life in Jesus, both now and forever, escaping condemnation. Conversion includes wholehearted joy. It also includes genuine love for God and genuine love for others, as well as a delight to do the will of God, as recorded on the pages of God's Word. True conversion has two essential elements. I've mentioned them already time and again: faith and repentance. If you're interested more in faith and repentance, and not only that, but again, to draw attention to the resource table, the New Hampshire Confession of Faith is the succinct body of truth that unites us together here. And point number 8 says this regarding repentance and faith: we believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convinced of our guilt, danger, and helplessness, and of the way of salvation by Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition, confession, and supplication for mercy, at the same time heartily receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet, priest, and king, and relying on Him alone as the only and sufficient Savior. Faith and repentance. Faith, that whole-souled movement of self-commitment to Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and from sin's eternal consequences. It is a positive, faith is a positive recognition of the truth as revealed in the Word of God. And it's not just recognizing it as true, but it is deep conviction about the truth. The soul is gripped by the truth, and the life then is arranged around it and changed as a result of it. Faith and repentance. Realizing and acknowledging your past as sinful, and acceptance of the guilt that you've incurred because of your sin. A recognition of the defilement and helplessness that exist because of your sin. A sense of genuine sorrow for sin, and a determination to change, turning away from sin again and again and turning to Jesus Christ, the one who loves us with an unending, undying love. True conversion is embracing Jesus Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. The conversion may be dramatic. It may not appear to be dramatic. It may be emotional. It may not be emotional. It may be a quiet embrace. It may not be a quiet embrace, but it will be an embrace, not a single moment, but a continuing relationship, embracing Jesus as he is freely offered by grace through faith in the gospel. It's turning to a new direction, conversion from sin in repentance to God in faith. It is conscious and deliberate, a conscious and deliberate turning to God. Now, conversion is a personal, individual turning to embrace Jesus. But there's also a public aspect to true conversion. Those who have been drawn by the Spirit of God, whose lives have been changed by Christ, will invariably make a public profession of their faith and join together with other followers of Jesus. This is what we know as church membership. It defines, really. Church membership is the relationship between a local church as a body and an individual believer. Church membership is characterized in two ways. On the one hand, it's the church's, the members of the church, their affirmation and oversight of the individual Christian's life and discipleship. And on the other hand, it is the Christian, the individual Christian's submission to and living out his or her discipleship within the context and care of the local church. So today, as these seven that have come today in order to join the membership, we as a church, the members, so this is not me as the pastor, it's not us as the elders as separated from the church, but it is all of us as members, those of you who are in covenant with the church, on behalf of Christ and according to the criteria written in his word, we are affirming the individual's profession of faith. We are affirming their claim to be a Christian. So by accepting two, Drew and Abigail Patterson, and baptizing five, whom I'll mention in just a moment, these seven individuals, we're accepting them as members of Christ's church. We are signifying our wholehearted acceptance of their profession of faith that Jesus is Lord, and we are acknowledging our acceptance of them into our local church body. And the reason that the five who are going to be baptized are coming by baptism is because the new covenant does not operate by birth the way that the old covenant did, but by rebirth, because they have been changed, their lives have been altered. So as a result, the sign of the new covenant, believer's baptism, is given to those who give evidence of being born again. As we consider baptism, which again I mention is one of the requirements for church membership, it is an identification. When we are baptized as believers, it is a sign of our union with Jesus Christ. We've been joined with him by faith, and this is evidence of that. Christ began his earthly ministry by being baptized. It was him coming, and it was a sign of his union with us. He was identifying with us as his people. And if you remember when Christ came and was baptized at the beginning of his earthly ministry, the Father from heaven expressed the pleasure in the moment. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Christ identifying with us, we as believers, when we follow the Lord in baptism, it's not just Christ that the Father is pleased with, but we're in Christ. And we too can hear from the Father, you're my child, you're my son, my daughter, and in you I am well pleased. We're identifying with Jesus through baptism. Not only that, it is a profession, it's a public profession of faith in Jesus. If there's no profession of faith, there's no significance in the baptism. The baptism is a picture. It's an outward public profession of the inward change that has been wrought by God in the Holy Spirit. And it's also an opportunity for consecration, a consecrating oneself to Jesus Christ and a commitment to his people. Now, it's important when we consider the baptismal waters this morning that we recognize that the reality of new life in Christ and sins being washed away is being displayed, not dispensed. We're only picturing what has happened here. There's no exchange of grace happening. There's no washing away of sin that's happening through the baptismal waters. That happens through the power of the Holy Spirit based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So grace is pictured this morning, but it is not imparted. Baptism is how you publicly identify yourself with Jesus and with his people. And these five that have come this morning are participating in the visible sign that they've been united to Christ by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a vow. They're coming this morning. It's a symbolic promise that they're making to follow Christ in the fellowship of his church. It portrays a remarkable truth. And we can worship through this as we witness the baptism. It is a person dying with Christ, being buried with him, and being raised in Christ, to walk with him in the newness of life all their days. Physical immersion or actual baptism mimics the motions of burial and of resurrection, putting on public display the picture of the unique union with Christ that we have as believers, as the family of God. So as we witness the baptisms in just a few moments, it is a display of what has already occurred. It's a public uniting of these five to this local body. It's affirmation from the existing membership of the church, and its commitment from the individual as they join the body. And it serves as a reminder for all of us of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned already, we're not just accepting and acknowledging and adding to the membership today these five, but also Abigail and Drew Peterson are joining today by profession of faith and previous baptism. But these five who are coming by profession of faith, saying that God has changed their hearts, that their lives are new in Christ, and they desire to join with the local church here and to walk with Jesus in this context and in the care of the church. In just a moment, I'll come down and they'll come and we'll baptize them. I want to go ahead and introduce them now, and I'll just mention their names briefly then during the actual baptism service. First, Stephen Duraswamy, then Abe Gorski, Millie Walker, Evan Washer, and Ian Washer. And as they come, and as each one is baptized, I'll baptize one, and then I'll call on someone to lead in prayer. It's an opportunity for us to worship and to pray together, agreeing with the individual that's lifting up their voice, that God will keep them, that we as a church will come alongside and minister to them, praying for them and praying for us with the new relationship within the context of church membership. I'm going to pray, and then we'll proceed with the baptisms. Our gracious God in heaven, we thank you for this morning, that you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we do pray, God, that you will help us to do that. As we see the gospel displayed, help us to revel in the reality of the redemption that has been accomplished and finished through Jesus our Lord. We thank you for saving these individuals. And we pray, God, that you will keep them, that you'll grant us grace as a church to come alongside and to help, to strengthen weak knees, and to aid them in their faith. For Abigail and for Drew, for Stephen and Abe, for Millie, Evan, and Ian, God, we thank you for the privilege of witnessing the reality of the power of your gospel to save souls, even to the uttermost, for all those who trust in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.